The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where we tackle the biggest issues in American education. School is now in session. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Mark Durkin.
Well, good evening, and thank you for joining us here on Education Nation. I am your headmaster and host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and it's a privilege to join you every Saturday evening here on AM 1280 The Patriot. I'm joined in studio once again with our producer of Education Nation and my co-host, Mark Durkin.
And another wonderful Saturday night in June.
Yes, I know. We're getting close to the 4th of July.
It is. It's coming quick.
It's always amazing how quickly that comes up. And then I always feel like, well, the summer is like half over. And I guess technically it isn't, but somehow it feels that way.
Right. It can slow down now.
Yes, exactly. Well, last week, if you joined us on our program, Education Nation, you know that we were discussing how the Common Core math standards had decreased. Well, actually, we didn't really get to that. We're going to talk about that more today. But we had talked about the 1997 math standards in the state of California and how excellent they were and how they had brought such great improvement to the math scores of the students in California. And we left off by kind of briefly highlighting the fact that not only was that the case for students who are non-minority students, but it was also positive for minority students as well, which is an important thing to note because obviously we want to use standards that are going to be good for all kids. We want every child, we can all agree that every child deserves an excellent education and equal access to an excellent education.
Right, and that's the thing when it comes to, you know, things like Common Core or like we spoke about last month about the Every Student Succeeds Act. It's all about a closing that achievement gap.
Yes.
And the federal government has tried to take the bull by the horns to do that. But as we're seeing from these 1997 standards, as things were left to the state's control, they were doing it just fine.
Yeah, and they were and there was much less of an achievement gap back in that time, at least in the state of California. And I think we're going to note that in our next show, it's true in Minnesota as well. But back in 2010, prior to the implementation of Common Core, the former senior policy advisor in the U.S. Department of Education, Zeev Werman, and the research fellow and a research fellow at Stanford University Hoover's Institute, Bill Evers, drew attention to the successes of these 1997 standards preparing all students for Algebra 1 in eighth grade. And both men, because of the success, voted against California adopting the Common Core math standards on a state commission.
Yes, they did.
Because they knew that what they had going was already excellent. They had already increased the success rate of kids taking Algebra 1 in eighth grade to 36.5% from 11.2%
in just a decade.
Exactly. That's triple, more than triple. So they knew what they had going there, and they didn't want to get rid of a good thing. And between 2003 and 2009, just to be clear, the number of African American students successfully taking Algebra 1 by eighth grade more than tripled from 1,700 to 5,400 students, and the jump among Hispanic students went from 10,000 to 45,000. And for students from low-income households, from 12,000 to 49,000. So these are huge, huge statistical evidence that this was working. Mm-hmm. Werman and Evers also pointed out that a growing K-12 math proficiency produced commendable progress in the state's post-secondary education. So if you listened last week, I talked about that, how if you're not teaching kids well at the elementary level in math, it's going to affect their whole course of math learning, and they're going to be less proficient all the way through.
Building
so you
blocks.
Have to start well. Yes, it's a very important detail with math, since it's a compounding subject. So anyway, they saw benefits in the post-secondary education realm as well. And between 1997 and 2014, the California State University, which was already known for keeping excellent records on admissions and remediation, reported that increasingly more qualified students and freshman enrollment were more than doubled from 26,000 to 63,000, while remediation rates in mathematics dropped from 52% to 27%.
That's a huge drop.
I mean, it is so exciting. And you just think, why? You know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. So why in the world did they do that?
If it's not broken, don't break it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what happened in the state of California, sadly. So to summarize, the Californians' local efforts without the federal government's interference paid off. And by the time Common Core actually hit the state schools in 2014, the state had the highest percentage of students taking algebra by eighth grade in the entire United States, 67%, a fourfold increase in over 15 years. And on the California Standards Test in 2013, 55% of the state's eighth grade algebra test takers were proficient or advanced, up from 40% in 2002.
I mean, these are large gains we're talking about.
These are huge gains. And if they had continued on that path, they would have remained successful.
Mm. They would be the envy of the rest of the country.
Yeah.
As California goes,
yes,
so would
yes.
maybe the rest of the country, right?
Exactly.
Well, in 2010, once the California State Academic Content Standards Commission recommended the state adopt the new National Common Core standards, the growing number of students proficient in algebra across mathematics, as you would imagine, began to stall and decline.
So sad.
And as we mentioned earlier here in the program, Common Core math standards are not fewer than those in California's 1997 standards. We talked
right.
about that last week, about how the Common Core standards were 73 pages when it came to math, as opposed to the 59 under the 1997 standards. Well, according to Werman and Evers, the commission tried to pass it off as though that the state was, quote, preserving the current academic rigor by creating what Werman and Evers would term as make-believe algebra option for the eighth grade. And it took all of the algebra content. This is what they did.
This is Common Core.
This is Common Core's algebra content. And dumped the standards on top of the national standards pre-algebra content. And that was creating what was deemed as an obese, unteachable, double-dose course of 74 standards. I mean, that is just such a physical picture of bureaucracy bloatation.
Yes, at its worst.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
And the poor teachers trying to deal with this and the poor students trying to learn it. It's really unfortunate.
To mix the technicalities with the artistry of teaching.
Yeah.
Well, Werman and Evers believed that the Common Core standards refused to provide necessary preparation for what they termed as an overstuffed course.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, not only did they overstuff this course, but then all the standards leading up to that course did not sufficiently prepare the students to be successful. Even if a teacher could have done, you know, performed that course well or taught that course well, what they're saying is that the Common Core standards leading up to that course also did not provide for the students to be prepared to even receive it well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, as the numbers were starting to be compiled from pre-Common Core to then post-Common Core, STAR and NAEP are two, you know, test score compilers. They went ahead and compared some numbers, and they said in just 4 years under Common Core, California's longstanding effort in introducing Algebra 1 to students in eighth grade saw a steep drop in enrollment. And when we say steep, okay, now again, remember the gains, okay, we're talking almost threefold over 11 years.
Yeah.
But in terms of a drop, the Algebra 1 eighth grade enrollment dropped from 58% in 2013 to just 19% in 2017.
Yeah, if our listeners could see this chart, it's like a cliff.
It is.
It literally, it's climbing, 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 climbing during the good standards, and then it takes a nosedive after Common Core math standards are introduced. It's, again, and you know what? Part of what makes this so frustrating is that we're talking about children's education here. You know, These are not just numbers and facts.
Right.
These are individual kids who are in school, and parents are sending them with good faith that the teachers and the administrators are giving the best education they know how to do to their kids. And instead, what happens is they are basically running an experiment on these students, and the test scores take a nosedive.
That's right. And none of this has been proven to be successful, and the numbers just confirm that. And that's the thing. It's really frustrating to know that the kids of this country, especially in California, that are being treated like a science project.
Right. And this is what happens,
and
unfortunately.
It's their one educational experience.
Yes, yes. And that happens in education. There's a lot of trends that come and go. And unfortunately, it's the students in the classroom that are the test subjects rather than pre-testing these things.
Yes.
And that's what happened with Common Core. It was not pre-tested. Mm-hmm. It was just rolled out.
That's right.
Nationwide.
And the kids end up suffering. They're the yeah. ones who suffer. Now, the 19% enrollment for eighth grade algebra that occurred under Common Core by 2017 took the state of California back to where it was in 1999. Again, we mentioned last week that the math results were horrible prior to the introduction of the 1997 standards.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this was reminiscent, this drop of where algebra taking was really the privilege of the elite. So mm-hmm. guess then who it impacts the most.
Right. The minorities.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And under the state's 1997 math standards, like we mentioned last time, Latino and African American students experienced significant increases in the number of students enrolling in Algebra 1 by 8th grade. However, under Common Core, these students experienced much deeper losses in enrollment than it was for both white and Asian American
And that's
students.
A travesty. It's a travesty. And it's just, it breaks my heart for those kids. And again, when we are trying to get, when we're trying to erase the achievement gap, when we are trying to get more and more kids interested in STEM careers, we're going in the opposite direction from what we should be doing.
Yes.
Yeah, to find that success. Well, with enrollments in eighth grade algebra declining in California, we learn that Common Core actually moves the bulk of an algebra course to the ninth
yes.
grade. And I remember this when I started researching Common Core back when it first came to light in 2010 or 11. That was one of the biggest criticisms from people who knew math, is that they were moving Algebra 1 from 8th grade to 9th grade. So for people who really understood math, they weren't fooled by this bulky course that they had tried to create in 8th grade. They knew that it was basically moving Algebra 1 to the 9th grade. And according to Joy Pullman, who's the author of The Education Invasion, How Common Core Fights Parents for Control of American Kids, she is also a writer for The Federalist and has done a lot of research on Common Core. She said that Common Core promised that their curriculum mandates and federally required tests would actually boost achievement and match that of international students. But it's important to understand that this appearance that the Common Core advocates have tried to produce, that achievement actually has been boosted, really came as a result of the Common Core redefining what success looks like and taking away the public's ability to really measure it. So the actual numbers show us that the math scores have decreased and the number of students taking Algebra 1 in 8th grade have decreased. But the perception that they've put out is that the Common Core math has actually improved the success of students. But they've done that by redefining really what success is and taking away the public's ability to measure it. So Common Core deception and promising to get all students college and career ready involved pressuring states that were competing for federal education grants into having their state university systems agree to not remediate students who passed Common Core exams. So one of the issues that we've seen nationwide is that a lot of students have had to take remedial coursework when they get to college, particularly in the area of it's usually math and writing are the two areas. And so what they did when they launched this whole Common Core scheme, I don't know if you want to call it a scheme, but idea across the states, you know, they basically said, well, part of this agreement is that you will convince your state university systems to not remediate the students who pass these special tests. Well, they create these special tests to align with their standards.
Right.
And their standards, we've already demonstrated, are significantly lower than the 1997 math standards that, California already had in place. So if you can show that a student is proficient on a Common Core aligned test, what are you really proving?
Right. The bar's already been lowered.
The bar's already been lowered. So it really doesn't help. So the bar for that academic rigor was not raised. It was actually the state higher education systems then that would have to allow the Common Core to define what suffices as college ready.
Now, for some of our listeners that may not be familiar with what remediation is or remedial courses, can you
good
just
point.
Explain generally?
Yep. So a remedial course, it means that a student is entering into college, but the college determined that their math skills or their writing skills are not up to par for college level work. So they would admit them into the college, but they would say, but under the condition that you take this course that is a non-credit-bearing course to prepare you for the credit-bearing course. In other words, we're not going to give you college credit for taking a course that you really should have mastered in high school.
Right.
But now what Common Core is saying, well, no, we're just going to lower the bar. So we're going to convince the course, the colleges, to go ahead and give credit for those remedial courses.
Right. So we've lowered the bar.
Yeah.
You're in school now.
College.
And, yes,
college.
In college. And we're just going to waive what the 1997 standards were basically before that, and you've basically have just accomplished what the lower bar wanted. That's
mm-hmm.
why we can waive the remedial course.
And then we're going to give you the remedial course, and we're not going to call it remedial, and you're going to get college credit for it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, here's the problem. You know, according to Werman and Evers, these two former U.S. Department of Education employees, and the Common Core does not require enough math for students to be ready
mm-hmm.
for college-level classes, especially for those that are trying to prepare for a math-related profession. And here's what they say about that specifically.
Mm-hmm.
They said, Common Core defines college readiness below what have traditionally been the prerequisites for essentially all state colleges across the nation. And this would involve the completion of geometry and Algebra 2 courses. Instead, Common Core puts the readiness level at about half of the traditional geometry
half.
And Algebra 2 content.
Half.
This is suitable at best for community colleges.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So with the lack of true college and career preparation, what is Common Core's solution? Well, according to Werman and Evers, unprepared students will be placed, and you touched on this a little bit, Rebecca,
mm-hmm.
in specially designed credit courses, otherwise known as co-requisite or stretch classes. That's what they're termed in California.
A new term is born.
Right.
Stretch classes.
A real stretch to be ready for
yes.
your college-level math courses. And this means that even though they cannot do college-level work, students will be told that they are, and they will be given college credit for it for doing non-college-level work. And I just wonder how oblivious the students really are to this, because if they're preparing for these STEM careers, they're up for a very rude awakening when they go for those job interviews to find out,
right.
I'm not ready.
Right. Well, and it's the classic kick the can down the road scenario. You know, well, we're going to lower the standards in the lower school, and then we're going to lower the standards in the middle school. We're going to lower the standards in the middle in the upper school. And then by the time the kids go off to college, we're going to create these new stretch courses to make sure that the kids can get college credit for learning information that they should have learned in high school, but they weren't being taught. It's not the kids' fault. They can only learn as much as they're being taught.
Right.
And then they get these stretch classes. What does that say then about the college degree they're receiving? And you know what? That matches what we're hearing, right? We hear across the country employers saying that kids are not coming out as well prepared as they used to be out of college now.
Yes.
So why? Well, because we're basically changing the bar. We're lowering the bar, and then we're giving college credit for information that was once taught at the high school level. And regardless of what the motivation is for that, the bottom line is that's going to damage the overall, viability of our college programs across the nation. Because
right.
if all the colleges buy into this, then by the time a child graduates from college, they have not reached the same level that they did 20 years ago, 30
right.
years ago. And that will come out in an employer what they see. And then they have to do more training. And that's what we're seeing now. A lot of employers are training in the realm of math and writing because the kids are even coming out of college without those proper skills.
So the employers and are so having now to double the cost, up as teachers now.
Exactly. So now the cost lands on the employer's lap.
Right.
And the time factor that they're losing in having to teach skills to kids that should have been taught long ago. So we've got a system, folks, that is breaking and broken. I would even say broken. And we need to really take a look at what is the best way to fix this. And I think we kind of need to go back to square one and throw out Common Core. You know, it doesn't get a lot of conversation anymore because it's just embedded now in most states' educational systems. But until we really address it and deal with it and go back to standards that actually work, we're going to continue down this path.
Yeah, just a couple of notes on what we've been talking about. This reminds me of an interview that I believe we had done with Howard Root last year, who was doing hiring for his company and realizing, you know, that lack of preparation, unfortunately, is there for a lot of college graduates. Yeah. And, I mean, it does come home to roost for sure. And that's just so disturbing. That's really disturbing. And, you know, the thing that's really confusing, you know, at the current administration, you know, there's the denunciation of Common Core at the federal level. But see, the problem is when it starts blending and it gets interwoven with state standards, how does it get diagnosed? Well, no, that's the federal portion that needs to be omitted since we, the federal government, stand against it. And yet, but no, it's still part of the state standards, so it can't really be removed.
Right, right. And it is tricky because curriculum is expensive.
Yes.
And all of the curriculum that got changed, and this is, you know, this is something when we talk about the fact that education has so many trends and, you know, theories that come and go, the driving force behind a lot of that is the curriculum companies, by the way, like Pearson.
Right.
Pearson makes tons of money every time there is a curriculum change because what do? They address the change and they create the new curriculum and they sell to all the districts and they sell to all the private schools. And it's kind of a never-ending supply of money because it's state tax dollars that go into buying curriculum. And so for a company like Pearson and all the other large curriculum companies out there, they're motivated for these changes and trends to come and
go. It's a moneymaker.
It is a huge moneymaker for them.
At the expense of the taxpayers.
And even more importantly, the students themselves.
Yes.
I've been in Manhattan several times, and Pearson is located on some of the most expensive real estate in all of Manhattan. And I find that somewhat ironic that this company that, you know, yes, it's a private company. Well, it might be publicly held, but it's not owned by the government or anything like that.
Right.
And yet they have, you know, this ability to be in this very high-end district. It's no accident that they are collecting, you know, hundreds of millions of tax dollars over the course of time to be able to support that institution. Mm-hmm. And they are the backing behind AP. They are also the SAT Corporation. So all of that comes out of Pearson. They're all connected.
So this is a very large domino effect is what we're saying here.
Yes, it is. Yep. Well, the state of California, getting back to California, is aiding in the facilitating of the double achievement deception that we've talked about as they've abruptly ended their pre-Common Core tests as well as their end of course exams for algebra and geometry. In other words, again, lowering the bar. So making it harder to see that the math standards are lowering by basically taking those exams away. Well, we just won't give them anymore. And that way nobody will know that the kids are not doing as well as they used to be doing. So this essentially removes any and all measuring sticks to equally compare achievement between performance on pre-Common Core tests and post-Common Core tests. So that's how Common Core passes along the lie, really, that student achievement has doubled with the implementation of Common Core. And it's really concerning to me because it's important for our families across the nation, but obviously in this case in California, to know the truth, because the truth is what really affects their own child. And we need to know the truth here in Minnesota because we want to avoid having those same problems in Minnesota.
And we've been discussing a lot of numbers, a lot of statistics, repeating a lot of things because we want our listeners to see the trend.
Mm-hmm.
And we want that to stick in their mind to say, you know what? We don't need the federal government's oversight in our children's education. Mm-hmm. If we have the right people in place locally and across the state, we can have educational standards mm-hmm. that, without taking money from the federal government, can be successful for people all across the board.
Right, right. That's exactly right. And we know that things like this are better done locally and at the state level. Trying to have some type of a federal mandate on education, even though technically it wasn't, you know, I will say that those architects of Common Core were brilliant. I mean, strategically brilliant in the sense that they developed these Common Core standards, not through the federal government per se,
right,
but at the federal level. And the way they then instituted them across the nation was by convincing the Obama administration to tie the Common Core standards to these Race to the Top grants. And states were hungry for this because they were relief from the No Child Left Behind legislation that had been put in place by the Bush administration. And that wasn't a perfect pill either to swallow. I mean, they were trying to help, but there were a lot of problems with No Child Left Behind. So these were legitimate concerns that the states were having, and they were hungry to get out from underneath of those standards and or the No Child Left Behind plan. And so this was brilliant. Their rollout was brilliant, but thankfully, a lot of the teachers and parents in the states, once those Common Core state standards actually began to show up in the classroom through the curriculum, because it took a while. You know, once the standards were created, it took a while for the curriculum companies to make all the Common Core materials to go with it. And once it took hold, parents started noticing, and there was a lot of uproar, and there still is some uproar. But unfortunately, it's hard because it's all controlled at the federal level through the testing and through the regulations. And even with Betsy DeVos in place and she's relaxed some of that federal control, there is still so much motivation on the part of the states to keep in line with this Common Core because of the testing.
I have to ask you this real quick. You know, we talked about the brilliant commissions that, you know, put these standards together. I mean, are these people that have a background in education?
Well, that's the interesting thing. When you look at the committee of people that wrote the standards, very few of them were actual educators. In fact, I think there was maybe one teacher on the entire panel that developed these standards. And they're more, you know, philosophers. There's a lot of tech representatives from the tech industry. That therefore, it's no surprise that part of Common Core, there are a lot of standards in the English language standards and math around technology, and that's why technology has taken such a huge and central role in education today, because it was built into those standards. Well, what's the motivation? They were helping write the standards, and the tech industry, just like Pearson, stands to benefit from the educational establishment using technology in the classroom, because then they get to sell a lot of technology to the schools.
It is.
Well, we are running out of time once again, and we are so thankful that you joined us here on Education Nation. And if you want to listen to this podcast or any other podcast, go to ednationmn.org and join us next week, 6 p.m. a.m. 1280 The Patriot. Thanks. Good night.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.